folks. I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the podcast Small Package. Give me a hold, buddy. Ho!
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Corey Poindexter here with
Bub Thickety.
Yeah, and this week on Small Package,
it's Small Package Quick Time,
we're gonna hurry up and recap the No Mercy pay per view,
things that happened there,
and we're also gonna talk WWE news, including Paige getting married.
Dude, it's just too much.
Also, we're gonna talk about WWE 2K17 and give you a should you buy it.
Dude, it's just too much.
Wait, don't spoil it, Bob. They gotta listen to the show for that. All that and more this week on Small
Package.
How you feeling? I'm good. You feeling ready? Ready to do this? All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Small Porkage.
Small Package, y'all.
It's the Small Package Show.
I mean, it's the show about small packages.
Only a couple days late.
Anyway. So, obviously, we haven't talked since No Mercy happened.
We did our prediction show, and we uploaded them hours before No Mercy.
In before the ban.
We got it right in before the deadline.
But, now it's time to talk about what happened.
Fun fact, we wound up going 3-3. We wound up tying our predictions. Because we adjusted one of the predictions for Becky Lynch not being able to wrestle. Which we'll talk about that. And I, at that point, as a desperation move, said, I'll just take whoever her opponent is, Alexa Bliss. And when Naomi's music hit, I went, well, it was It was a good game, Bob. And holy shit, Naomi won.
Because Meltzer gave it a 1-star rating.
I believe it.
It just didn't make any... Like, why?
So let's go to the top of the card real quick.
Okay.
So it's a presidential debate night.
Yes.
So, because of this, they put what would normally be the main event, the triple threat for the title, on first.
Ooh. But are we started with a pre-show?
Oh, yeah.
The pre-show is only the tag team match.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't call that.
And faces won.
Because we didn't know that match was happening.
Right. That was a late addition. And it was Team Face 1. It was Hype Bros and IA versus Vaudevillains and Ascension. And the faces won. So you start off the proper card with the triple threat. And it was a hell of a match.
It was a good shot. It was a really good, really good match.
Really good match.
A lot of good moves. A lot of great triple moves.
Yeah.
I will fault the WWE for how they handled the ending of the match.
The very ending.
No.
You're talking about the submission?
Yeah.
I actually liked the submission.
I liked it. I did. But when AJ tapped, the announcers went, huh? What? And then he shouted for the guy to start the match over, and they didn't ring the bell again. And if you're going to do something involving that non-traditional finish, that kind of has to involve explaining the rules of professional wrestling, all in air quotes there that you can't see.
Yeah. It needs to make sense happened.
They need to have the announcer, Morrow, be quick to be like, oh, he was submitted by two guys. That means that the match is restarted. You can't just have everyone go, huh, what, huh? And then they just kind of keep going. I mean, right. I was watching with my girlfriend, and she doesn't really watch wrestling. So once they restarted, she was like, what is happening? Are Is he out? Like, did they eliminate him and actually, start that was the match over? With, like,
that was my first.
He started outside of the ring and like.
Yeah, that was my first. My first inkling too is that okay. Well, maybe they just eliminate him from the match.
And,
like, since he lost to both competitors,
it was still a really.
It was a great match overall.
Like it was a great match with a fumbling on the end in the middle there, I guess, because the ending was fine.
And then after AJ tapped to both Cena with the SDF and Ambrose with the calf crusher, after he tapped, he rolled out of the ring. Cena and Ambrose fight for a minute before AJ comes back in with a chair and pins Cena for the win. So AJ Styles retains.
Over John Cena.
Over John Cena, specifically. So, moving on, we had, actually, what came next? This is all out of order on this recap that I have right here. So, we'll just go with this. So, I'll go to everything except for Intercontinental and the Wyatts.
That's really should be a point of mentioning. And we will, just how poor...
The organization
the booking of the show was.
Yeah.
Like, I get trying to win people over by putting the main event first. Like, that was a cool little twist. Like, yeah, it probably could have kept people around. Except then you just kind of let the show fizzle out after that. Like,
I don't know. I feel like if they put Ziggler on at the end, I feel like it would have been fine.
I definitely agree with you. And it just felt like Randy Bray, like, was a cool down match that they could have had in the middle of the card.
And they closed the show.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying. So we did have Heath Slater and Rhino versus the Usos. Slater and Rhino shockingly retained.
I was expecting Rhino to go away to do his political thing right now, but I guess he'll be around for a bit longer.
Yeah. And I thought they would just use them as a transitional champion to get it onto the Usos so they could have a feud with AA for the title. But
yeah, and to allow the Usos to properly heal up enough.
Apparently not. Nikki Bella defeated Carmella. I think we'll still see the feud continue a little longer.
Yeah, it was fine.
Baron Corbin finally got the upper hand on Jack Swagger. But I think the feud will continue. I think, did he have a low blow or something in the match? Trying to remember now. I think there was something dusty about it, but they'll definitely continue that feud, I feel like. We had Naomi defeat Alexa Bliss, which was another shocker.
Yeah. I don't know why you have the number one contender lose.
And it does not help her case. Like, Alexa Bliss has looked great lately, but I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to give Naomi something to do.
I mean, so I guess stick her in the feud. We should talk about Becky, as that she's, according to WWE, out for not in-ring performance problems.
It was not an in-ring injury, but it was medical, and she was photographed in a hospital. So there's speculation
could be like appendicitis, you know?
I could buy that.
You know, something that just happens, you know?
Right.
Shit happens to all of us, you know?
Some kind of a medical injury of some kind. You know, it's definitely confusing. And, I mean, it's unfortunate because obviously this is not kayfabe, you know? So,
But I mean, she seems fine. They already have
Glasgow. The
rematch scheduled. Glasgow, Scotland, yeah.
November 8th. And I don't think that's a pay-per-view.
No, because I don't think they have a pay-per-view. They wouldn't do a pay-per-view in Scotland. I mean, hell, we get our first pay-per-view in Canada in 10 years this year. Let alone
really?
Scotland.
Huh. They haven't had a pay-per-view in Canada in a decade?
Yeah, and then Survivor Series this year's in Toronto.
That's interesting. So they have the Intercontinental title match. And it's amazing. I loved the match.
It was definitely match of the night.
Easily. It was feud of the night too, I feel like.
Oh, for sure. which, I mean, is saying a lot when you put it up against the opening match.
It was amazing. Great work by Maryse. Great work by Miz. Great work by Ziggler. Everything was really well executed. And it's just unfortunate that it didn't close the show. Because while Orton and Wyatt were... I felt it was kind of entertaining. I felt entertained.
It was a fine enough match. It just wasn't anything special. And like, I don't really... Like, they've been doing an okay job of building up the feud, but at the end of the day, it still doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, they're just kind of like, Bray says his Bray bullshit.
Bray, man.
And then Randy just says his Randy bullshit.
Randy, man.
And I don't know. They keep trying to make it me feel like I have to care about this, but I just...
Right.
I don't. Like, I mean, I'm happy that the show ended with a great return. We got Luke Harper back. Great to see him back in the ring. The rumors and reports were saying that he was working Raw house shows. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting to see him on SmackDown. Rowan's out. So Rowan may just get swapped in for Harper and just be Bray's jobber. But hopefully they actually do something with him.
I was happy to see Harper back.
Forward.
I was happy to see Harper back. Yeah, it was fun seeing him at the end of that match. You know, and I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes. So the pay-per-view overall went well for the most part. Obviously, a couple matches weren't great, but there was a lot of fun stuff. There was a lot of interesting stuff that happened. There was several very, very good matches. The card's layout was the biggest issue, I felt like.
For sure.
And, you know, I mean, you still had two that fantastic matches in.
And Alexa Bliss losing.
Well, and that's very confusing. But let's just go ahead and throw this out there in terms of WWE news. There really wasn't a lot to talk about from Raw, I felt like, this week, or even SmackDown.
No, well, I mean, the only thing for SmackDown from, is the whole James Ellsworth bullshit.
Which we'll get to that in just a minute. But in terms of matches that advance storylines, not a ton.
Oh, Raw was just devoid of plot.
But the big thing about Raw was we found out that we're going to have a women's Hell in a Cell match.
Uh-huh.
Which is very cool news.
Yeah, but I agree with a lot of people online that it's good news for presented in a for wrong reasons.
Right.
They're saying, let's have a women's Hell in a Cell match because this is the women's revolution and we're being women having a Hell in a Cell match. Instead of just being like, this feud has gone on long enough, we need to finally settle this in a spot where nobody can get distracted. And
yeah, I feel you. Usually the best Hell in a Cell matches have purpose.
Because that's the problem with these pay-per-views. Like
the gimmick ones, you mean?
Yeah, it was just like, well, let's have a Hell in a Cell match because
it's Hell in a Cell.
Let's have a TLC match because it's... Well, it's TLC.
And Stairs. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a couple years ago.
And so, like, why not just make every single pay-per-view like a generic title name?
As opposed to having gimmick, like, relevant pay-per-views. Like Elimination Chamber used to be, and, you know, Fatal 4-Way used to be, and Hell in a Cell and TLC are. I mean, I'm fine with Money in the Bank.
Like, I like Money in the Bank. Yes, I like Money in the Bank.
It is it's the once a year game changer.
I think here's how I would book gimmick pay-per-views.
Okay.
Because I'm an asshole, dang, right? Isn't that how it goes?
Or I could do it better, whatever Adam Blompier says.
Anyway.
Shout out to Adam Blompier, rival of the show. I don't know.
A friend of the show, even though he doesn't know it yet.
I don't know if we can say rivals because we're not. I don't think we're in that league yet.
How about friend of the show, even though he doesn't know it yet?
Sure.
So obviously, you have Rumble.
Right. Survivor Series.
Because that has the reason why you'd have Rumble.
Right.
And then I liked Elimination Chamber after Rumble. Again, that gave you a reason for why you had that match.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it being between Rumble and Mania, but I definitely did like the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view.
And then I wouldn't have anything until Mania. And then the pay-per-view after Mania is when Money in the Bank is, because that gives you a full year to cash in and buy Mania.
Gotcha.
For the
so put a little more pressure on the cash in.
Yeah.
That if you still have it at WrestleMania, time is of the essence.
Exactly. Like and then that's it. And then everything else from there on out is like booked as needed.
I'm fine with the Survivor Series elimination tag.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
I mean, I know the pay-per-view is not named like, after it, but
yeah, the Survivor Series, I guess, is a classic one that, like, this is a wrestling staple that I, you know, don't get.
Yeah,
I don't get because I'm not.
And the other thing about like, yeah, the other thing about the elimination point
of time, like, I was around last year where they just completely
fucked
they didn't even announce a Survivor Series match until the day of the show, and it was the pre-show match.
Yeah, they fucked it like, up. In years past, it has weight, and it's like a couple years ago, the one where Ziggler was the sole survivor was like really important to the overarching story. But a lot of years, it's not so much important to that, but they find a reason to make it relevant, like Team USA versus Team Not USA.
I mean, Raw versus Team SmackDown. Team Raw versus SmackDown.
Yeah, like they you always find like back when the Hart Foundation was running wild. They did a really cool one where they brought in a bunch of American guys and were like, "It's Team USA versus Team Canada." Making sure that USA doesn't lose the Survivor Series match. They always find a way. And right. it's always but
maybe
been there.
Maybe have that as like the last one of the year, as kind of like an send end off. Of the year celebration.
Yeah.
So you'd have that in December and then Rumble in January.
Yeah, I don't think they would ever move Survivor Series from Thanksgiving, but who knows?
Well, yeah, I guess it's probably really popular.
That's popular its staple. It also keeps the big four spaced evenly. Between Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series, that keeps the big four evenly spaced.
True. Gotcha.
Anyway, other big news. We were talking about this. I don't think we talked about this on the podcast last week, but I know that we talked about this, about the price plan.
No, we talked about it on the podcast because I remember giving you the options and you reacting to the options.
Oh, okay. Cool. So we did talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
So Paige proposed to Alberto de Patron Rio,
yeah,
Alberto del Naga, not gonna be working any much longer anyway. So that was interesting.
She proposed to him in beautiful sunny Puerto Rico.
Oh shit! What up?
Bought a timeshare. So she apparently proposed to him. And then her dad posted on Facebook where he's like, just for the record, I don't approve of this marriage.
It should also be noted that Paige just was handed her second wellness violation, which I think this happened since we recorded last. It was just like a week ago.
Yeah, no.
And WWE released, you read all the stuff, so you can go ahead and describe this whole
Yeah, I mean, they just released like a one sentence statement where she's like,
dad,
yep, shot second violation. And then she gets on Twitter and is like, you know, same shit, different day. Kids don't get prescriptions or doctor's notes. Your status is different, or like the rules are different based on your status.
Yeah.
Then her dad gets on Facebook and says like, you know, my daughter has a bad neck and they're not treating it well, so we moved her to the UK to get better treatment, and she has prescription pain meds, and that's what she got caught for. More paraphrasing, obviously, but
right.
Obviously WWE did not like getting called out for treating their employees poorly. Especially with lawsuits abounding.
Mm-hmm.
So, to all people, they respond with a quote to the New York Post.
to her father. Like that they're responding to his Facebook rant, right? Or hers.
I think just the situation.
General. Gotcha.
So they respond to New York Post saying that she violated her wellness policy because of illegal drugs.
Whoops.
Just like straight up, like, no, it was illegal drugs. And, you know, again, they're not in a space to be taking on more lawsuits. So I doubt that they're about to go start committing libel and slander on public record.
Oh, yeah.
Careful
now.
And I'm sure they have the test results should anyone want to really see them bad or if things need to get proven.
Meltzer says that she's not doing this to get released. But
I think at this point,
I don't know.
I think at this point, the only person who really knows what is fully going on with the situation is Paige, and I doubt she knows what she's doing. So I bet every single person, to some extent, including Paige, Del Rio, her family, everybody, is in the dark a little. So I wouldn't trust anything I read, really, about the situation until, like, it's a first-hand account. And there was plenty of first-hand accounts of her proposing in the middle of this ring in Puerto Rico. So...
Dana Bryan and Brie Bella...
have a kid coming.
Are having a baby.
So congrats to them, friends of the show. They don't know it yet, but they are.
There's a baby Brian bun in the oven.
A baby Bella Bryan.
A baby Bella Bryan bun in the oven. So, yeah, dude, they're, get fucked.
They already did.
Get fucked, have babies. Exciting stuff for them. Can't wait to see him flying headbutt his way out of the vagina, just like running knee. I think that's how he'd be born. How a fitting, how apropos would that be if he did a running knee out of her vagina? He's like, yes. Doctor's like, yes. They're like, yeah, cut the fucking cord though, so we can. No autographs, please. Ryback, Goldberg. My bad. That was a Freudian slip. Ryback is premiering tonight on...
You said Ryback again.
Oh my god, I did it again. Dude, that's a Freudian slip, dude. They are scary similar. Gimmick infringement. Goldberg is allegedly tonight coming back on Monday Night Raw.
What do you mean allegedly?
Why
do we have to kayfabe this podcast, dude?
Bob, don't do this to me, Bob. Not now, okay? Not now. Don't. Wink. We're not recording this at like 8 or 9 on a Monday. Wink. So Goldberg's back. We haven't seen it yet. Thanks, Bob. You know, I wasn't ready to come out yet, and you outed me.
Yo, maybe you should have told me.
I'm going to fucking fund a Terry Bollea lawsuit against her ass brother. I wasn't ready to come out about that, and you outed me, Gawker. Gawker feckety.
It's really strange that I apparently agreed to abide by the fact that we're lazy pieces of shit and can't record our podcast.
Well, in fairness, it's not about that. This week, it was you were busy on Thursday and you were heading out of town, and my mother-in-law had just gotten into town, and I didn't want to record by myself. And now you're back, and we have time to record. So we're getting it done. We're getting it done. You know what? If you're out there judging us, fuck you. You try recording a fucking wrestling podcast once a week and watching all this shit. Raw is terrible. Raw is objectively terrible. And we are, for the most part, doing our jobs and watching this fucking shit and then watching their shitty pay-per-views, which are just the fucking Raw on steroids. They're just a longer form version of Raw. With more fucking commercials. I don't know how that's possible, but there are. It's terrible. SmackDown is the only thing keeping me sane watching this much. And also, TNA's gotten better. I'm just suggesting this to you right now, Bob, live on air. This is an immediate thing. What do you say we just stop fucking covering Raw entirely? Cover only SmackDown, Talking Smack, and then maybe we can just flip-flop the other thing we cover between TNA and we can maybe start watching Lucha Underground. Maybe we can finally fucking watch NXT. I heard that shit's going really well. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm having a freak out live on air. I don't want to watch Raw anymore. The show sucks. It's bad. It's really bad. We're already going to get to see Goldberg at Survivor Series. We don't have to watch Raw. We don't have to watch their exclusive pay-per-views. We don't have to listen to fucking Michael Cole. We don't have to do this.
You are almost in tears,
sir. We don't have to fucking do this anymore. Listen, I'm sure all fucking five of our listeners, shout out to all five of you, friends of the show, and also all of that in Serbian, apparently, for one of you. Listen, we don't... Do you guys really care about Raw? We get enthusiastic about SmackDown, but it's just hard when we have to watch another 3 hours a week minimum
of Titus O'Neil.
Of botched fucking payday commercial stuff. Like, Jericho is one of the only things that makes that show fucking bearable. Enzo and Cass coming out and doing their thing is fun, but not fun enough. New Day is still fun, but it's wearing off a little bit. A little bit. And fucking... That, I think what really took it out of me was that Old Day segment. Like, that was bad.
That was so bad.
That was bad. I mean, that was so real bad. That was like Razzie Award winning fucking awful. And also Danny Masterson and Ashton Kutcher. First off, fuck their show. We watched it on Netflix the other night. My mother-in-law is in the other room right now with my wife. So I'm going to just be quiet for just a second because I can't really tell how they felt about the show. But we watched the first episode of this fucking show, The Ranch. It was fucking awful, dude.
Oh, really?
I did not enjoy The Ranch. I was like, I sat there and I tried to feign laughter so that everyone else felt a little more comfortable. Because, you know, you don't want to be that one person in the room who doesn't like the show everyone else is into. And then they feel like maybe we shouldn't watch another one because he doesn't like it. I don't want to be that guy. But I was sitting there like eating dinner and watching the show and just like, how in the fuck? Like, how much money do they have to pay this studio audience to laugh at this? Maybe they recorded the audience laughing at a different show and then put it over their shit. Because it was just not funny to me. There was one point where he like made out with a cow or something. I don't know, man. I could barely even follow the shit for some of it. It was just awful. It was like, also it made everyone look like bumpkins, which like I have family that lives out in the country. They're not bumpkins. Like, I don't know, man. Point is that they brought them onto Raw and they were just sort of there.
Honestly, they were not bad.
I mean,
they
weren't awful.
They were the ones who kept drawing attention to the action going on in the ring. The Which like is ironic. Cole and like Byron were like, oh, so tell us about it. And they're like, oh, whoa, did you just see what he did? He punched him in the face. Like, that was fun.
Right.
If you have celebrities on who want to be there because they like wrestling, let them be there to like wrestling.
That's fine. Yeah,
and
I agree with that.
It seems like they were there and they enjoyed wrestling and I enjoyed it with them.
Yeah, but they make Cole and them shill is what they make them do. Anyway, so that's part of the big news that's happened in the last week or so. Goldberg is back. We don't know yet what he's doing because we're recording instead of watching. So I'll have to watch those 3 hours tomorrow before I'll find a way to fit it in, chug it down, pinch your nose and take your medicine, bitch. Watch Raw. We will get it done. Cena's going on sabbatical again soon. So I know he'll be back for Survivor Series. Also, we found out why Kurt Hawkins. So he did make his debut at No Mercy, but his quote in-ring debut was him standing in a ring, then making a troll face into the camera like, problem, bye. But he got bumped off of the following
SmackDown.
And the reason has come out that he was bumped off is that he was supposed to actually have a match, but the Ziggler Miz Spirit Squad thing ran long. Like, that whole segment ran long.
Huh.
So they decided to just nix it and then not address it. And then
it's always fun. Well, and, they did in a WWE. That's what I was gonna say. Exclusive video.
But apparently that happened because people were on Twitter freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like, well, people on Twitter saying, like, where was he?
When you say, I will do this on Tuesday, and then you don't do that, people are like, hey.
Why didn't you do this?
Remember the time that you said, I do.
And then WWE chuckled to themselves and were like, we're in the business of lying to you.
And they go, huh.
Why would you trust us? I guess when we
tell people something and then don't do it, they wonder what happened.
They sure do. So Goldberg may...
But his defense in that video was like, he was like, I didn't feel like it or something. It was such a weird little cop-out thing that they obviously didn't plan for.
Other news, WWE has continued to try to purchase the tape libraries. Dixie Carter's like, I'll never fucking sell. She's been having arguments with
Billy Corgan.
Billy Corgan
filed a lawsuit.
Right. He wants to buy it, and then now he's like, he's been providing them money for shit. So now he's suing.
It's all very crazy. The TNA is getting something because they aren't paying taxes or something.
That's a very confusing situation that I don't even understand. But here's something fun.
And then the wrestlers are saying, like,
some are considering becoming like free agents.
Oh yeah, they said like by the end of the week, if things aren't changing, then like they'll be listing themselves as free agents,
which is also bananas flavored crazy. On top of all of this,
we're just all going to break our contracts.
Word is coming out right now that Matt Hardy might be willing to just
pony up and buy the thing himself,
buy it all outright. And he said, loosely, I mean, when I say he said this loosely, he implied this heavily, but in his broken Matt Hardy character. Like, he didn't come out and say the words, but it was mostly because it was like rambling on Twitter. But he basically said that if he buys TNA, he is going to delete TNA and reboot TNA in his broken image.
He's said that the TNA name retarded the brand's growth or something.
I'd believe it. I mean, it's kind of a silly name because when you think TNA, you think tits and ass, not wrestling.
Total nonstop action, which that doesn't even make sense as wrestling either, because total nonstop action could be literally anything.
Well, I think you can sort of blame Jeff Jarrett for all of that. Because I think that was mostly his doing on the name front. But regardless, I would be fine with that because Matt Hardy has, let's be honest, been the best thing that's been happening on that show.
No, if they did it like IPW.
And
like,
did you hear about his tournament of tag teams? His Apocalyptico tournament of tag teams?
Oh, and how he's trying to get New Day and Young Bucks there.
Oh my God. He wants to shoot all of it on the Hardy compound. It will only loosely be an actual TNA production, which is why some people think there's a slight chance that WWE would play ball specifically to earn loyalty back from the Hardys because their contracts are up in a couple months.
Uh-huh.
So some people are thinking, okay, Vince might say, let's send the New Day to this one-off pseudo TNA event, and then when the Hardy's contracts come up, maybe they go, oh, hey.
Remember WWE working with us?
And like they may go, okay, well, clearly Cruiserweight Classic, Apocalyptico Tournament, Vince has had a change of heart, let's go back. So it's kind of all up in the air. That would be nuts. I think that would be the first time in a long time that like a very prominent WWE, I mean the champions, like prominent members did something outside, because they have before struck deals. They let TNA use Christian before to get Ric Flair back when Ric Flair was still with TNA, to get him for some Hall of Fame stuff. So they went, okay, well, we'll give you Christian for 2 weeks to come back on TNA television if you give us Ric Flair for this ceremony. Sure. I mean, it's happened before. This would not be completely unprecedented, but it would be unprecedented at that kind of actual performance level. Yeah. They very rarely let their superstars do other non-WWE wrestling stuff. So that could be really fucking cool, and I would personally eat that shit up. Watching Young Bucks, the Hardys as the Broken Hardys, New Day among other tag teams. They'd probably bring that DK tag team from TNA, and they're not bad. They're the ones feuding right now with the Hardys. Uh-huh. All of that could be really cool. Any other new stuff you want to talk about? We talked about the Bill O'Brien, baby. and Paige being out of her goddamn mind. I don't know if there's any other news that you had that you want to talk about. Then we could talk about WWE 2K17.
Yeah, I guess let's just roll on into that.
All right, Bob. What? So you got a copy of the game.
Yeah.
And you were very excited.
I was pumped.
You called me and had me come meet you outside on the front porch to tell me. You were like, guess what I got? The hot promo code.
Yeah, no. I mean, because obviously you wouldn't shut up about the game for like weeks. You're telling me every single thing you could find about it.
Online, yeah.
Not knowing that I was, you know, just writing the news articles a day or two before you read all of this news, but I just grinned and let you be excited.
I appreciate that. It's like when your child comes up and says, "Dad, look, I figured out that you can boil the macaroni before you put the cheese in, and it's not all hard and crunchy." And you just sort of smile and go, "Wow, son, had no idea. I've been eating dry macaroni and cheese for years."
But finally get it booted up. First thing, there's no showcase mode,
which is awkward. It's been a staple for a while.
Okay, whatever. Move on in. The game is almost fucking identical to 2K16. Except it has improved lighting.
And menus. The menus with the wrestlers in the background.
They're
cool, right?
But when you have an announced team of Michael Cole and JBL and Jerry the King Lawler in a game that is labeled 2017, when those guys haven't been announced teams at least since 2015...
At least.
In real life?
At least. Because they moved Lawler to SmackDown.
Yeah. Right? I mean, how long has Byron been on Raw?
At least since 2014.
Like, he has been on Raw since I've watched. So
at least, I think it was JBL, Michael Cole, and Byron Saxton in like 2014.
Right? Like, that's unacceptably outdated.
Can we just stop putting Jerry the fucking King Lawler in these fucking video games? Because he's, again, objectively terrible now. He used to be good with JR. Now he is just... I can't tolerate listening to his voice.
And so, like...
Other things that are outdated as well in the game. They still say divas.
Yeah. They still say divas. They have Los Matadores instead of the Shining Stars.
Well, that's unreal. Do they have El Torito?
I don't think so.
That's at least they caught the fact that he was released.
Maybe they just cut that code. It's so much easier to cut code than make new code.
I guess that's true. I guess you have to face a match against them to see if there's like a big gap where El Torito should be.
Yeah, right.
In the animation.
Because that's the thing, is that like a lot of the sound... I get why it's recycled and, you know, all the sports games do it. ESPN does it. Madden does it.
Right.
You know, the NHL game stuff. Like... I get it. You can't record new, you know, you don't need to record new lines of him saying, "Oh, you hit him in the face," every year.
Right.
Like, it's still the same guy saying it. You know, fair. Still Michael, but God, at least try to update the product. Like, and again, I also get that game development takes a long time and you can't, it seems to us like WWE did a lot of major changes somewhat on the fly this year, including this brand split and the whole Shane McMahon returning at WrestleMania and right. the whole everything that's happened this year in wrestling. So, like, yeah, I get that you can't have this new game reflect the brand split and reflect
the new stages.
The new stages. Well, they should have Marl since he's been around for over a year now. But anyway,
Wait, actually, no,
that's a lie.
He came out a couple months before WrestleMania.
Yeah, Marl started like in January of this year.
Yeah, and I mean, amazing from the get go. But he's only been there since like January, and I understand why they might not have had time to fit him in for
a recording session. And then you'd have to program that so it'd be only on SmackDown. But see, this is the thing. There's so many things with game development that you can't just like do quick changes. If you need quick change like that, that completely changes how you build your game. Like
I feel you.
But at the same time, there are still so many things about this that just feel like it's not even 20. It's not 2017. It's not 2016. It's not 2015. It's 2014. Like, goddamn.
I don't know, man. The biggest thing to me that is just sort of confusing was that they didn't go back and change it from Divas to Women's. Because you had time, and culturally, that is a huge fucking deal. You've been pushing that this is the women's revolution in wrestling since WrestleMania, dude, when you unveiled the women's title.
Yeah.
Dude, I am like so sorry that I'm not sorry. You should have gone back and fucking fixed that. You should have said, hey, 2K, here's some fucking money. Get your dudes back in here and switch the word Divas to Women's. Like, how hard could that have been?
That one doesn't seem like it should have been that hard. However, they would have had to record a lot of new dialogue.
Fuck's not given. It's really, really weak sauce to be like, it's the women's revolution. Oh, and by the way, in this fucking franchise, you know, flagship video game that we're going to release, it's still called Divas.
I mean,
Tramp Stamp Butterfly.
What does make it worse is that they do have WrestleMania 32 brand Shane McMahon in the game.
So which, like, yeah, clearly says
they
that
obviously they obviously knew something or had worked on that or something.
Well, they have in the video game rendered from the trailer the WrestleMania 32 moments. They have the elbow drop off the table and they have stuff from the Charlotte title match, which shows you that they've done stuff since WrestleMania 32, and that's around the time that was the big moment where they switched and they were like, these aren't divas anymore, they're female superstars. So they've clearly known about it and put some of it into the video game, but then just didn't give a fuck enough or just didn't say, oh, like send an email to someone at 2K, be like, oh, hey, by the way,
we're changing this,
they're not divas anymore, because that's a fucked up term, so we're gonna use women like they are as people. Anyway, so that's all.
Point is, if you got 2K16 for free, don't bother.
Well, yeah, because we didn't even get into the gameplay. We've only talked about how outdated stuff is.
Yeah, I mean, well, gameplay, there's nothing more you need to say. It's the same game. For like,
how are your shirt sales? I know you want to tell everyone about how cool that feature was.
Well, you know, based on something, your shirt sales either go up or down, and then they give you more points.
I was so thoroughly disappointed because I thought that was going to be like a really fleshed out cool feature. And then when I came downstairs and you handed me the controller, I went, hey, check out how cool t-shirt sales is. And I opened it up and it's just a fucking like bar graph. That's it. It's just like, well, you sold t-shirts.
Here's your points.
Here's points. Also, the promos are kind of eerie with no fucking dialogue.
Yeah, like
even your creator wrestler doesn't have dialogue.
I get why, you know, if they're trying to have this huge promo generator that makes these long promos that your wrestler is saying, I get that they can't have all of this dialogue. Like record, like sound takes up a lot of space in your disc, and you can't have a 100 gig download of just recordings and recordings and recordings of dialogue. Like I get that, but at the same point in time, if you make a game mechanic based entirely around talking and speech, and it just sounds bad, then it's a poor mechanic that you probably shouldn't base like an entire year's iteration of your game franchise on.
Right.
And like outside of that is also a poor mechanic because like you were trying it. I was trying it. We both would like be like, okay, let's do a face promo. And we'd pick one where it's like, this crowd is so great. And you'd be like, okay, yeah, this is McFoley level pop. And you'd pick it and be like, this crowd is so great at being idiots. You guys suck. And
yeah, it was
like,
pretty bad.
That's.
I think the specific one was when I chose the one that said, wow, this crowd is on fire. And I chose that and it was like, wow, this crowd's on fire. You guys need to simmer the hell down because I'm the show here, not you. And I was like, whoa, I never would have guessed this was like the biggest heel choice from this crowd's on fire. That sounds great. And there was like another one I chose where it was just like, you all just don't get it. And then I was like, oh, well, that's heel. That's got to be heel. And I was like, you all just don't get it. I love you guys so much. I'm so passionate about the fans. And then it was just like, face turn, and I'm like, well, this promo has just gone all to hell. It's not coherent at all. But that's not even your least favorite thing in this game, because I know what your least favorite thing in this game was, because you talked about it for at least a combined half hour total.
Man.
Rewatching the intros to the shows every time in career mode. They turned this feature on
I don't,
from last year, and it is awful.
Get
it.
I don't get. So if you're playing my career, maybe my universe, I didn't even bother to try. I couldn't handle it. In my career mode, here's the flow. It says tonight's matches at the top of your menu. And it says, you know, you'll probably have either a match or a promo and a match, maybe just a promo. So you say, okay. And then it'll show the calendar. Like, here's the matches. Here are the promo slots. If you don't have a promo, you can schedule yourself one. You can schedule a run-in, like how you'd set up in 2K16, you know? And then you say, okay, looks good. And then it plays the show intro. NXT, Superstars, I imagine Raw and SmackDown, because I haven't played enough to get through it. And you can't skip it. And then it goes back to that menu and you skip ahead to what you need to play. And then you're back at the home screen once you're done. And I know that doesn't sound bad, but then you do the next match and you have to watch the show intro again. And then you do the next match and you have to watch the show intro again. And you do the next match and you have to watch the show intro again. And it's the same music, it's the same songs, and they keep looping the songs throughout the whole show, and it's like,
it's kind of maddening.
I've never played a game that seems so much that it wants you to both A, mute the game while you're playing, because the insipid level of repeated commentary from an announced team that hasn't been around for 3 years, meeting the same repeated show entrance music again and again and again, does not encourage you to keep listening. And also, I've a game that encourages you to put your controller down and walk away. Once that entrance starts, it's like, okay, great. This is a minute and a half of just unskippable time. I guess I can go to the bathroom, get a drink. I can do something right. Else that's not this game. And that's not game design. That's not what you want in a video game. You want your player to be active and engaged and happy and having fun and not trying to blow his goddamn brains out because you're listening to the main event theme and find yourself singing along to it because you've heard the lyrics so many times and you're like, no, oh my God, I just had the self-realization that I'm singing along to the main event theme, a show I've never watched because you can't fucking watch it on WWE. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, where does that show exist right now? Hulu? I think Hulu. I think that's it. In the US, at least. You know, I honestly, when the first time you said this all to me, I kind of thought, well, maybe he's overly sensitive to this And then when I played it, I was like, oh, cool. The main event theme. This is kind of cool. It feels like I'm watching the show. And then it was NXT happened first. And then it was the main event. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then I went to the next week. And then it was like, okay, your NXT match. I played the video. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I've already seen this. And Bob is correct. You cannot skip it. And then the main event theme played. And I was like, all right. And then I went to the next week. And it was the NXT theme, the full intro to the show. Like Bob said, it's like a minute and a half, maybe a little more. And that all plays out. And the pyro and everything, you can't skip it. And I'm like, okay, but I've seen this exact same thing. This is the third time. And no changes, no variation, other than it says a different city at the top, you know. But that's it. The pyro is the same.
Which doesn't even make sense for NXT.
Because they don't really tour. And also, the camera angles don't change. Nothing changes. It's the exact same video. And it does get very monotonous, and I can't imagine playing your career mode for multiple years of time. And why? Like, that's the beauty of 2K16s. Yeah,
you can just fly through a career. You can have it set to skip everything
except your own match. That's it.
Yeah,
and which is great.
But skip intros, skip everything. Just fly to ding, 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 go, and then the end of the match. Done.
There you go. Next match. Next song. Next song. Next song.
And yeah, it makes it fun and enjoyable to play through a career.
Yeah.
I finished 2K17 and went, wow, I'm ready and excited to go back to my 2K16 game.
Which is unfortunate. Because I feel like not having a showcase mode has gotta be just brutal, because it's like, that's a fun little element of the game. Is it's like a one player storyline that's not your created character that is like, you know,
somewhat crafted.
Yeah, dude, and the Austin one was amazing. The one that I was talking about from, I think, 2014, that was the, like, showcase through the ages, that was amazing. 2K15 doesn't exist. Let's just pretend that never happened. But
the reason why they did they cut the mode, is because
allegedly
the cover athlete being Brock Lesnar, they said they couldn't get the rights to enough of Brock's opponents to make it worthwhile.
What do you mean, like Punk?
Probably like Punk, maybe Guerrero. Obviously all of his UFC accomplishments.
Right.
So like,
but they could have done something other than Brock, because, I mean, for fuck's sakes, the 2014, the cover artist.
I mean, there is the cover, Paul Heyman challenge, which right. I haven't done. Which maybe could be that cool. Could be fun.
Because Orton was the cover of 2014, and that was just a showcase of the ages.
Yeah, that's, and there's the counter argument there. Is that they could have just done something else.
They could have done, since Goldberg was your pre-order character, they could have been like, pre-order it and get the showcase mode, and the showcase mode is Goldberg. And then have that as a DLC later. Or maybe they'll still do that. Who fucking knows? Maybe they're just going to milk it for all it's worth. They love releasing DLC fucking packs for these games where it's like, oh, hey, by the way, here's six more wrestlers. Please don't download them from the create a wrestler thing on the community and pay for them. I don't know. It felt very buggy. I kind of want to reserve an overall judgment until I play the universe mode, because that to me is one of the best modes in the game overall.
And this one does seem very flexible. I know it's easy enough to set up your own brand split and make it up to date in your universe mode.
Relatively, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, still the announced teams are shit, but you can at least get up to date rosters to a point, and you can download the new belts. And
it kind of sucks that you have to fucking manually split the brands.
Yeah, you have to manually split the brands. You have to download the new belts. You have to, you have to download the new show logos.
Right.
You have to
garbage.
You still have outdated music for both show entrances.
I feel like the most apropos review that I've read from this has to be somebody who said, this makes me excited for the possibilities in 2K18, but as for 2K17, no. Which, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't, maybe they just phoned in 2K17 to make 2K, to work on like making 2K18 actually a big step up.
Or, yeah, just test out some features in this.
But
who knows, man?
Yeah.
So would you give it a buy or a rent or a do not buy?
Maybe a rent.
Like a Gamefly or maybe a Redbox. Like,
when I say maybe a rent, that just don't buy it. Don't buy it used. Don't support this kind of mediocrity.
Wow, bro. Wow. Any kind of number out of a number or stars out of stars?
I gave it 2 out of 5 on iDigi.
Oh, on your iDigital Times article? Hey, guys, go support Bob. Find his iDigital Times article on this.
That article actually did a lot better than I was anticipating.
Dude, but Bob, we're plugging it on the show, guaranteeing you at least 2 more hits on the article.
What up, hits?
Yeah, thanks, Con. If Con doesn't text me and tell me he appreciated the shout out on the show, then I'm going to know he didn't listen to it, and he's not getting a fucking birthday card this year.
Oh, you bastard.
That's right. Other people listening to the show know who he is. You better warn him. You should be a good friend. Text Con right now. You hear me? People listening to the show who know Con, text him and tell him, hey, did you listen to Corey's and Bob's podcast on Small Package Wrestling on this week? Maybe don't be so awkward about it, but just text him and see if he's listening. Because if he doesn't listen and tell me, no card. I gotcha. Well, I think that just about wraps it up for this week.
Yeah. We'll be back to talk about Raw and SmackDown.
Later this week, later question this mark? Week,
hopefully. Probably. I'm not doing anything much later this week.
Good. I have an out-of-town gig on Saturday, but I hope we can record before that. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to Spot Package. Our apologies again for being late, but we're not pregnant, so it's fine. Right. We were late, but don't be scared.
Tweet at us if you're that mad.
Please. Please. I don't know if... I think the only person who's ever tweeted at us was Khan.
Will.
And Will.
Friends
and Gabe.
Of the show.
Well, and Will and Gabe, but here's the thing. At this point, Will and Gabe are practically part of the show.
Fair enough.
So, anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to us. I'm Corey. This is Bob. Find me at CBPointXer, at Bob Faggity, at Small Package, POD. And we'll be back next week.
See right here. Guys.
Oh shit! At like the band.
No,
like the band.
No, I was like trying
the fucking
to,
band.
I was trying to get that out.
POD like the to fucking
fuck
band.
You, Corey. I was trying to close the show up.
At POD podcast small package at twitter.com/POD.
I was trying to get this show up.
Never.
Fuck off.
Fuck you.
Fuck off.
Small package. Oh,